Welcome to the Minnesota Military Radio Hour, where we bring you information about Minnesota's National Guard, military community, Beyond the Yellow Ribbon Program, and Department of Veteran Affairs. Your host is Tom Lyons, the founder and owner of Phalon Partners Limited, a Twin Cities merger and acquisition advisory firm. Tom is also a Vietnam veteran of the United States Air Force and a member of the VFW and American Legion. Now the host of Minnesota Military Radio Hour, Tom Lyons.
Welcome to the Minnesota Military Radio Hour. I'm Tom Lyons. On today's show, we talk to Ray Kennedy and Michelle Van Dyke about opportunities for military kids. And with flood season beginning in Minnesota, we talk to the Army Corps of Engineers about the role they play. But first, it's time for Generally Speaking, a weekly message from the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Major General Rick Nash.
The Minnesota National Guard is based in 63 communities around the state, with members from many more than that. We're comprised of men, women, sons, daughters, mothers, and fathers from all experiences and walks of life. This inherent diversity is crucial as it helps us to understand the community we serve and also to carry Minnesota with us wherever duty takes us. As you may know, April is National Celebrate Diversity Month. That theme and message fits well with my goals for our organization. First, we must always provide a competent, ready force for our state and nation, a full-spectrum force that can deal with all events and integrate with the broader force quickly and efficiently. Beyond that, the Minnesota National Guard must continue to diversify our military force with regard to race, color, and creed. I am committed to fostering an environment that continually works to represent the demographics of the community in which we serve. In addition, I'm committed to developing leaders that reflect those who serve and lead. As we look at and celebrate diversity this month and throughout the year, we in the Minnesota National Guard must closely examine what it is to be a force comprised of citizen soldiers. We must continue to be a force that works hard to be open to all citizens that are ready to serve. As Martin Luther King said, everybody can be great because anybody can serve. You only need a heart full of grace, a soul generated by love. He was talking about all methods of service. However, his message applies to the military. The Army, Air Force, and Minnesota National Guard are values-based organizations. These values, however, are not specific to creed, color, or background. They can only be originated by the individual and cultivated in the kind of close training that every soldier and airman goes through during their time in the military. As the Minnesota National Guard continues to train, prepare, and deploy, we must ensure that the experience and opportunity to serve as a citizen and representative of our whole community is open to all who undertake the challenge.
Thank you, General Nash. You can link to the Adjutant General's blog, Facebook, and Twitter feed through MinnesotaNationalGuard.org/generallyspeaking. This week, Ray Kennedy joins us. He is the Command Chief Master Sergeant and the Human Resources Advisor for the 133rd Airlift Wing, Minnesota Air National Guard, but he is also the State Coordinator for the Minnesota National Guard's Youth Camp. Mr. Kennedy, welcome to the Minnesota Military Radio Hour.
Well, thanks, Tom.
Chief, how many years have you been in the Minnesota National Guard?
Going on 26. This fall, August, will be my 26th year, so...
26
for a while.
26 down, 26 to go, sir?
No, gosh, I hope not.
Can you tell us a little bit about the Minnesota National Guard's Youth Camp? Where is it and how long has it been around?
I sure can. Youth Camp has been around since 1991. Idea was actually born in about 88, 89 to start doing a camp for children of Minnesota National Guard members, both Army and Air. And the camp is held annually at Camp Ripley, Minnesota. Kind of in the center of the state, a little bit north of Little Falls and just south of Brainerd, kind of lodged between there.
Beautiful facility with about 53,000 acres, I understand.
That's correct. The post commander, Colonel St. Sauver, usually likes to, when he invites us or when we do the opening ceremonies, is, thank you for coming to play in my backyard. This man's got the largest backyard that I know of.
I think you might have the best assignment in the Minnesota National Guard as well.
He might. Yes, he might.
Chief, as far as kids and teens, who's eligible to attend and who's eligible to volunteer?
Well, volunteers are members of the Minnesota National Guard, both Army and Air, their spouses, retired members and their spouses, and children of those folks. The children that can volunteer or the dependents can volunteer are direct children of Minnesota National Guard members, grandchildren, nieces, nephews, et cetera, et cetera. Ages for all these guys, our youth camp is 10 to 12, and then we have a teen camp ages 13 to 15.
Are these camps held in August, is that right?
Yes, the we usually target the last week of August, or the last week of July and the first week of August. Last year we had to deviate from that a little bit, but this year we're back on track. This year's camp is July 24th through the 30th, and then July 31st through the 6th of August.
We're speaking with Ray Kennedy, the state coordinator of the Minnesota National Guard's youth camp, on the Minnesota Military Radio Hour here on News Talk 100.3 FM. Chief, how many kids come up to these camps?
The first camp that we had back in 1991, we had 104. And last year, as I mentioned, we only had 1 week, but we had almost 200 children. And this year, the target is about 200 per camp.
And I understand the week-long camp is filled with activities. Can you walk us through a typical week?
I sure can. We kids do a lot of things, hiking, swimming, biking, canoeing, riflery, archery, confidence course. The youth campers camp out one night up at Bennett Hill, and they do some rollerblading and then anti-drug awareness and stuff like that. And then the teen campers, that program is suited for a little more mature children. They go rappelling. Camp Ripley boasts a 45-foot rappelling tower, and 45 feet might not seem all that tall, but if you stand up on top of it and look down, it's quite a jump, but kids do it. They'll go canoeing down the Mississippi, which is quite a challenge in some cases, especially now. Of course, the river is high, but sometimes during the summer, the river is low and it becomes a challenge.
Chief, and, sounds like in some of those activities there might be some classes involved.
Yes, there sure is. The teen campers participate in Phoenix Recovery, which is an anti-crime awareness program, and they definitely do a lot of stuff with that. Anti-crime awareness, what we do, we have a couple of inmates or former inmates that teach them or that talk about their crimes and talk about their history and hopefully shock them into staying out of it. And then one of our long-term members of the teen camp group lost a daughter due to a drunk driver, and he and his wife annually give a talk on that. And I've listened to the talk about six or seven times and still can't quite keep it together. A tear, you can't help but just tears come rolling down your face. And the kids, they're quite impressed by that. So hopefully with the stuff we do, we keep them off of drugs and keep them out of crime. And hopefully they turn into good kids ready to join the Minnesota National Guard, either Army or Air.
Sounds like they come away with a great experience, Chief. Finally, how do the kids and volunteers register for your camp?
The easiest way to do that is by visiting our website. It's www.mngyc.org. And download the forms and either email them or mail them to our address in Roseville.
Chief, I hope you have some great camps this year.
I hope so, too. We're looking for good weather again.
Thanks for joining us today, sir.
Thanks, Tom. Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
That was Ray Kennedy, the state coordinator of the Minnesota National Guard's youth camp. You can find out more about the youth camp at facebook.com/Minnesota Military Radio Hour. After a short break, we'll talk with Michelle Van Dyke about another opportunity for military kids. This is the Minnesota Military Radio Hour on News Talk 100.3 FM. Please stay with us. Welcome back to the Minnesota Military Radio Hour. Joining us is Michelle Van Dyke, a 4-H program manager and the Operation Military Kids Camp Director. Ms. Van Dyke, welcome to the show.
Hi, thank you.
Can you tell us what Operation Military Kids is and how it works?
Operation Military Kids is a partnership between a lot of different youth-serving organizations, and we work. Our goal is to really offer kids in all branches of the military support that they need to face the deployment of a loved one. We know that a lot of military youth, especially in Minnesota, are spread out all around the state. They might be the only person in their school or in their class who's going through a deployment, and our goal is to help them connect with other kids who are going through the same thing to kind of give them a support network.
I understand you have a lot of camps coming up this summer for children, teens, even families. Can you tell us about them?
We're going to be this summer. I'm going to start with the camps that we have coming up for school-aged kids. We are doing two adventure camps this year, and these are new to us, but they're going to be four-day, three-night camps. They're going to be held on university campuses. And what kids will do at these camps is they'll come, we'll do some military activities and team building and leadership and just fun things so they can get to know other military kids from around the state. And then for part of the camp, they're going to break off into what we're calling tracks. And they can choose, based on their interests, which track they want to participate in. We're offering four, their fitness and healthy living, arts, science, and nature. So the kids will participate in those probably during the afternoon each day of camp. So they can really learn some hands-on things about areas where they're interested in. And they're broad topics. So science could range anywhere from computer science to wind energy to chemistry. It could just be a broad range of things that they could learn about in those tracks. Those camps are for any military youth who's completed fourth grade. They have to have completed fourth grade, and they can be anywhere through 12th grade to attend those camps. They'll be held July 11th through 14th at the University of Minnesota in St. Paul, and then July 25th through 28th at the University of Minnesota in Morris.
Now, Ms. Van Dyke, are these camps free to the children of our military?
They are free. We are asking that families pay a small program fee this year to help us cover the cost of some things that aren't covered by our grants. We'd like to be able to provide T-shirts or water bottles or backpacks for the kids to take home and have another tangible reminder of camp. But those fees are nominal, number one. And number two, they can be waived if the family is not able to pay that fee. We don't want anyone to be excluded because they can't pay the fee.
Now, those two adventure camps that are on University of Minnesota campuses, how do they find out about those? How do they sign up for those?
To sign up for those, they can go to our website, which is www.operationmilitarykids.org. They can click on state information and then find Minnesota. And if they click on news, the camp flyers are all right there, and they can find the registration information and a little bit more information about the camps.
We're speaking with Michelle Van Dyke, the camp director of Operation Military Kids, on the Minnesota Military Radio Hour here on News Talk 100.3 FM. Ms. Van Dyke, I understand you also have family camps coming up.
We do. We have several family camps this summer. We're actually offering two different kinds of family camps. One will be a weekend camp for families to come and stay at a camp facility Friday evening through Sunday afternoon. And then we're also offering just one-day camps, which will be kind of a condensed version of those family camps that are just held on a Saturday. Those camps are really just giving families a time to bond and do things that they maybe wouldn't normally do as a family. Depending on the camp facility that we're at, some of them have horseback riding, archery, canoeing. One camp has a zip line and a ropes course. So they're just a really fun way for families to enjoy their time together, not have to worry about the stresses of daily life, and be outside in a really caring environment with other military families. Those will be held. The weekend camps are going to be June 17th through 19th at Camp Cormorant. That's in Lake Park, Minnesota. August 12th through 14th at Ironwood Springs Ranch in Stuartville, Minnesota, and August 26th through 28th at Camp Lebanon in Upsala, Minnesota. And then the one-day camps are going to be held June 18th at Camp Voyager in Mound, which is just outside of the metro area, July 23rd at Prairie Woods Environmental Center, which is in Spicer, Minnesota, and then August 6th at Hartley Nature Center in Duluth. And the registration for those, again, is at our website, www.operationmilitarykids.org.
And Ms. Van Dyke, how can our listeners help you? Are you looking for volunteers? What do you need?
Well, I need families to sign up for the camp, number one. So that's the best way that people can help me. Number two, I am looking for volunteers to help with the camps, especially the adventure camps. We're looking for service members, especially. The kids really enjoy having service members there in their uniforms helping with the camp activities, and it really helps my staff relate some of those activities that we do back to the military. So if we do team building activities, it's nice to have a service member there to help us say, okay, you just learned this, and this is how we do it in the military, and this is why it's important.
Sounds like a great set of camps. You're going to have a busy summer.
We are definitely going to have a busy summer.
Now, can you tell us one more time where do the children go to sign up?
They go to our website, www.operationmilitarykids.org. Then they click on state information and click on Minnesota. And then if they click on news, they'll be able to find all of our camp flyers, the registration forms, as well as my contact information. So if they have a question, they can email or call me.
Great. Ms. Van Dyke, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me.
That was Michelle Van Dyke, a 4-H program manager and Operation Military Kids camp director. We have links to more information on Facebook and at MinnesotaMilitaryRadioHour.com. Each week, we feature Beyond the Yellow Ribbon, a comprehensive program that connects service members and their families with community support, training, services, and resources. Let's visit this week's Support Our Troops Showcase, a story where someone just like you and I went out of their way to make a difference in the life of a service member or military family. There weren't many things Dick Stafford's fingerprints weren't on. He was part of the Woodbury Ambulance Council, the American Legion, and the Chamber of Commerce. In recent years, he served on grassroots team that got Washington County proclaimed a Yellow Ribbon County. He was also a founding member of the Woodbury Yellow Ribbon Network. When it came time for Woodbury's Yellow Ribbon kickoff event in 2009, Dick had gotten over 90 community leaders to attend. As a Korean War veteran, he was extremely motivated to bring the support of Beyond the Yellow Ribbon to Woodbury. Friends described Dick as the epitome of what a volunteer should strive to be. He knew that to truly accomplish something, involvement had to be more than just membership. Dick was a hands-on guy, and as a result, helped make a difference in the lives of military families across the county. Dick Stafford died last month at the age of 81. His positive energy and great humor will be missed by those who continue to carry on the initiatives he helped establish. Thank you to Dick Stafford for showcasing how Minnesotans go to strive to go beyond the Yellow Ribbon. Beyond the Yellow Ribbon connects service members and their families with organizations, agencies, companies, community support, training, services, and resources to bring service members all the way home. To learn how you can, like Dick Stafford, make a difference in the life of a service member or military family, visit beyondtheyellowribbon.org. When we return, we'll take a look at flood season here in Minnesota with Colonel Mike Price of the Army Corps of Engineers. That's right here on News Talk 100.3 FM. This is the Minnesota Military Radio Hour. Welcome back to the Minnesota Military Radio Hour. Thanks for joining us. I'm Tom Lyons. It's time for the Commissioner's Corner, a weekly update from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Now here's Commissioner Larry Shelito.
This morning, I'd like to salute a very special organization right here in the Twin Cities. On May 2004, the World War II Memorial in Washington, D.C. was completed. This incredible monument honors the sacrifice of our greatest generation. Unfortunately, because of age, financial constraints and health concerns, many of our World War II veterans have never had the chance to visit this memorial honoring their service. Honor Flight is a nonprofit organization based out of Ohio that provides this opportunity to World War II veterans. In Minnesota, Honor Flight Twin Cities carries out this tradition at the local level. We lose approximately 800 members of our greatest generation every day. Today, there are just under 30,000 World War II veterans in Minnesota. Honor Flight estimates that in 5 years, this generation will be gone, and it will be too late for them to see the monument erected in their honor. This is an incredible program. with a noble mission. To date, almost 64,000 World War II veterans from across the United States have been safely transported as guests of Honor Flight. To learn more about Honor Flight Twin Cities and how you can help, visit honorflighttwincities.org.
Thank you, Commissioner Schellido. You can find out more about Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs programs by calling 1-888-LINK-VET or online at minnesotaveteran.org. This week, Colonel Mike Price joins us. He is the Army Corps of Engineers Commander of the St. Paul District. Colonel Price, welcome to the Minnesota Military Radio Hour.
Well, I appreciate you having me on.
Sir, I understand you assumed command of the St. Paul District last July.
Yes, that's correct, on the 2nd of July, so I've had a great run at it so far.
And how long have you been in the United States Army, sir?
I'm working on 22 years. I got 21 in 10 months, so this May will be my 22nd anniversary.
And you've got a couple of degrees in engineering?
I do. I have a master's in civil and construction engineering and management and a couple of master's degrees in strategy from the Army.
And I also understand you've been deployed a couple of times, once to Iraq and once to Afghanistan.
I did Desert Storm when I was a young lieutenant, and then I've been to Afghanistan actually three times, but once for 1 year, and that's my most recent deployment.
Were those assignments related to the Corps of Engineers or engineering in wartime?
I was in as a lieutenant, I was in an engineering unit, but not with the Corps of Engineers. And then my last deployment, I was actually a battalion commander for a divisional special troops battalion up at Death Mountain Division.
Sir, can you tell me about the duties of as commander of the United States Army Corps of Engineers in St. Paul?
Sure, it's a great opportunity, and it's not well known throughout our Army, but we have 38 districts, Army Corps of Engineer districts in the continental U.S., plus a couple down overseas. The St. Paul District is responsible for about 139,000 square miles. That's part of five states. And we basically have seven areas we work on. One is commercial and recreational navigation of our waterways, specifically the Mississippi River, part of the Mississippi, or the Minnesota, and part of the St. Croix. We do environmental restoration and protection. And this time of year, we're doing flood damage reduction and flood risk management type missions. We do some wetlands regulation. And essentially there, we enforce the National Environmental Protection Act. We do operations and maintenance of all of our sites. We respond to disasters, and then we support the Army and any other federal agencies that request our assistance. Mainly, we do a lot of support with FEMA. So those are our seven main mission areas. We maintain about 280 miles of a navigational channel on the Mississippi River. We do that by dredging, and we operate 13 locks and dams on the upper Mississippi. And just so everyone knows, today's the first day that we've had an open river all the way up to Minneapolis, all the way down to the Gulf Coast. It's fully open as of today. So Lake Pepin had its first barge break through the ice today. So that's good news for the navigational and commercial industries.
Colonel, we usually hear about the Corps of Engineers in relation to dredging or flood control projects, especially this time of year. But you also, I understand, the Corps is the nation's largest provider of outdoors recreation.
We last year, the Corps of Engineers had more visitors at our recreational sites than the National Park Service. And our recreational facilities have been built into our flood control project. So if we build a reservoir for flood control, we typically build in a rec site around that. And that's what we have up in the headwaters of the Mississippi. And the St. Paul District has 19 rec sites throughout Wisconsin, North Dakota, and Minnesota.
And, Colonel, I understand that the Corps of Engineers goes all the way back to the Revolutionary War.
We do. We, you know, if you go back to our history, we kind of predate the Army by a day or two. And then the Corps of Engineers helped build the nation. We helped survey, you know, Lewis and Clark were Corps of Engineer employees. Throughout history, you've seen engineer officers leading the way, either by expansion to the west or up and down the Mississippi River and doing navigation up and down the river and our ports and everything. So we got a very long history and very proud of it.
And, Colonel, I understand also that anytime there's any work that anyone wants to do in or near navigable waters, they have to get a permit from your agency.
Well, it depends on if if we have jurisdiction over the water, but if it's a waterway of the United States, and there's rules that define that, the individuals have to request a permit for us just to make sure that they're not discharging any fill material or other material into a waterway of the U.S. And that's where we enforce the National Environmental Protection Act.
So you oversee in your jurisdiction the fish and wildlife habitat and the water supply and so forth.
We do a little bit of that. We work very, very closely with the state DNRs, both Minnesota and Wisconsin. I have regulatory responsibilities for the entire state of Minnesota and the entire state of Wisconsin. And we work very, very closely with the Minnesota Pollution Control Agency and the DNRs of both states to make sure that we're doing the right thing for everybody.
Sounds like you're a busy man, Colonel.
It's a lot of fun, though. And I'm on the road a lot meeting, in the Army, I meet and talk to soldiers. And in this job, I get to meet local officials and politicians and citizens of this great nation and many of the great states that I cover.
And how many people are under your command in St. Paul, sir?
I have about 650 employees, and only four of us wear the uniform. The rest are wear a uniform of a different color. They're Army civilians.
Well, the question of the day, Colonel, is going to be flooding in Minnesota. It's a pretty timely topic. We have to take a short break, and when we come back, maybe you can bring us up to date on the current situation in Minnesota.
Be happy to do that.
We're speaking with Colonel Mike Price, the commander of the St. Paul District of the Army Corps of Engineers, on the Minnesota Military Radio Hour here on News Talk 100.3 FM. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Minnesota Military Radio Hour. Today we're talking to the Army Corps of Engineers, commander of the St. Paul District, Colonel Michael J. Price. Colonel, the question of the day is springtime in Minnesota, and it's flooding. Can you bring us up to date on the areas of concern?
Certainly I can. In the St. Paul District, we cover about four river basins, and that's the way our districts are pretty much set up on river basins. So in the Mississippi, the Minnesota, the Red River of the North, and the Souris River Basin way out in north and North Dakota. The Mississippi River is looking pretty good today. It's actually started to come down. It crested yesterday, so we're in really good shape on the Mississippi River. We take all of our forecasts from the National Weather Service, and based on their forecast, I have hydrology engineers working very, very closely with the National Weather Service to come up with what we think the water levels are going to be at each city along each of the rivers. But the Mississippi River is in great shape. We do expect there will be a second crest, so we're not completely out of the woods yet on the Mississippi River. But that second crest, we don't expect, based on the Weather Service's predictions, will not be as high as originally thought. So that's good news. Regarding the Minnesota River, it also has crested this week, and it's starting to come back down, which is good news. And the same thing goes there. We do expect a second crest based on the snow melt and the Weather Service's forecast, but that, too, won't be as bad as we originally thought. The Red River of the North, the river is flowing today, and it's at flood stage at 18 feet in Fargo. And the snow has not begun to melt up there yet, so we're very concerned about the Red River of the North. The Weather Service is predicting near historic flood levels there. So we're very concerned up there, and we have people on the ground getting communities ready. So far this spring, we've sent out my engineers to about 60 communities to do some planning and provide some technical assistance before the waters had started to rise. And today we're working in 8 communities in North Dakota, 6 in Minnesota, with actual technical assistance and with contractors actually putting some clay down and some sandbags. So we're in pretty good shape in Minnesota, and we're getting prepared for a pretty good flood up in the Red River of the North. And based on what the Weather Service has told us most recently, it could be another week to 10 days before the water really starts moving up in the Red River Basin. As I just came from Fargo today, and it was snowing when I left, and they're supposed to get more water and rain and snow like we are the rest of the week. So we're keeping a watchful eye on that, and we keep someone in the Weather Service's office in Chanhazen so we can get the current information from them as soon as they get it.
We're speaking with Colonel Mike Price, the commander of the St. Paul District of the Army Corps of Engineers, on the Minnesota Military Radio Hour here on News Talk 100.3 FM. Colonel, has the recent freezing at night had an impact on the flooding?
It actually helps out a little bit. The warming in the day helps some of that snow start to melt, and then when it cools off at night, it slows that down. So that's actually a good thing for the water levels, and that's what we'd like to see is a nice slow melt. If we get a quick melt, all that water dumps into the basin and makes its way to the river, and that's where we get those high flood stages. So what we want to see is some warm days, warm sunny days, and then some cooler nights below freezing so we can slow that meltdown.
Sir, with the Mississippi River at flood stage, does that have an impact on the traffic from here to Louisiana?
Right now, the river's open for navigation. Our locks are all operational. Now, our floodgates are open at all of our dams, so they're pressing some pretty high flows through them, but each of our locks are operational. And what we'll do is if the water gets within 6 inches to the top of our lock chambers, we'll actually shut that down, and we keep in pretty good contact with the navigational industry. And they know pretty soon when the water starts flowing too fast that they'll tie off somewhere and be safe.
Sir, we know that the Minnesota National Guard has a federal and state mission, and part of the state mission is to help with things like flooding. Do you coordinate with the Adjutant General and the Governor's office?
Yes, we do, and we put someone in the State Emergency Operations Center when it stands up, and they just recently shut down based on the forecast, but we had, I put one of my employees over there to coordinate and liaise with them, with the state and with the National Guard. And I met with the Adjutant General last week, and we talked through some of the things we're going to do together as we fight a flood this spring. So we work very closely with the state agencies and the State National Guard.
Colonel, a lot of our listeners are curious people, and they like to go look at disasters and floods and things. And I'm sure you've got some words of wisdom for them on how far to stay away from these rivers.
Well, I just caution everyone is that you know water is a very powerful force, and you never know how deep it is. So stay out of the water. Don't drive through flooded areas. If the road's blocked off, it's blocked off for a reason. So stay out of it, and don't get too close. All of my employees, when they go out and walk levees, are wearing flotation devices, and you're probably aware there was an individual in the state of Minnesota that lost his life last week because his backhoe flipped over into the water, and he washed downstream and drowned. So we don't want that to happen to anybody, of course. But they are nice to watch, so if there's an observation area that's high enough away from the water, go do that, but be safe.
All right, sir. I know you're a busy man, especially this time of year. I'd like to thank you for joining us today.
Well, thank you very much for having me, and we'll get through this flood together. Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir. That was Colonel Mike Price. Thanks for joining us. He's the commander of the St. Paul District of the Army Corps of Engineers. We have links to more information on Facebook and at Minnesota Military Radio Hour. Let's take a look in the mailbag to see what the listener question of the week is. Joining us in the studio is Sergeant First Class Melody Nelson from Beyond the Yellow Ribbon. Sergeant Nelson, what's in the mailbag today?
Hi, Tom. Well, we have a letter today. It's from Scott. He writes, I am a member of the Reserves. I recently came home from deployment, and my employer went above and beyond taking care of my family while I was gone. Is there a way for me to thank them?
And as usual, I'll bet you've got a real good answer for that question.
Well, you know, Tom, I did a little research before I came on, and I do have a good answer for Scott. The employer support of the Guard and Reserve is an organization, a national organization, that has many different awards. And what I would recommend for Scott is that he puts his employer in for a Patriot Award. Now, what a Patriot Award is it allows every Guard and Reserve member to say, my boss is a patriot. They nominate their employer for this award. And what the employer receives is a personalized certificate signed by the Secretary of Defense thanking them for their support. And they also receive an ESGR, which Employer Support of the Guard, the acronym, of course, is ESGR. They receive an ESGR lapel pin and an official presentation by the ESGR committee here in Minnesota.
Melanie, we had Paul Monteen from ESGR in a few weeks ago, and I think they've got a big annual event coming up, don't they?
They do. It's their annual Employer Support of the Guard and Reserve Banquet. It is on Monday, Tom. It's tomorrow evening in Oakdale. And boy, we are getting the very, very final preparations ready for that banquet. Yet today, we have more than 300 employers, service members, ESGR, volunteers, and a whole slew of people, even from the national level, that are coming out to our banquet. And we are going to be honoring some fine fine employers here in Minnesota. We've got a couple of outstanding employers who are going to win the Pro Patria Award. And we listened to 3M a few weeks ago, too, talk about when they first found out they were going to win that award tomorrow at the banquet.
Are there still seats available?
You know, Tom, boy, you have to really have an excuse for not RSVPing on time. But if you are in a pinch, needs more information, or are trying to squeeze yourself in, I recommend you call the administrator for ESGR. His office is there with mine at the Beyond the Yellow Ribbon office in Cottage Grove. His number is 651-282-4285. And if you can't get in this year, look forward to it next spring. It's a fantastic event. I'll be there myself.
And all of our employers should support the employer's support of the Guard and Reserve.
Oh, it's such a great program, Tom. Yeah.
Sergeant Nelson, thanks for joining us.
Oh, hey, Tom,
oh,
one more thing.
More?
I do. I forgot to tell you. And where Scott can go get his Patriot Award, of course, it's at beyondtheyellowribbon.org. And if you just click on the employment button on the homepage, it takes you right to our ESGR page where that and all kinds of other awards are there for you to peruse so you can nominate your employers.
All right, great. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Sergeant Nelson. And if you have a question, we'd love to hear from you. Visit us on Facebook and at MinnesotaMilitaryRadioHour.com. We're just about out of time. Thanks for listening to this edition of the Minnesota Military Radio Hour. I'd like to thank our guests for joining us this week, Ray Kennedy from the Minnesota National Guard's Youth Camp and Michelle Van Dyke from Operation Military Kids, Colonel Mike Price of the Army Corps of Engineers, Commissioner Larry Shelido of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, and finally, Minnesota's Adjutant General, Major General Rick Nash. Please join us next week as we talk about the Hennepin County Veterans Court, and we talk to one of the few remaining survivors of World War II's Bataan Death March. That's next Sunday morning at 7, right here on News Talk 100.3 FM. I'm Tom Lyons, and I hope that you make a difference in someone's life this week.
You've been listening to the Minnesota Military Radio Hour with host Tom Lyons. Tom is the founder and owner of Phalon Partners Limited, a merger and acquisition advisory firm located in Minneapolis. He's also a Vietnam veteran of the United States Air Force. We hope you found this program to be informative and entertaining. This has been a production of KTLK, Clear Channel, MinnesotaMilitaryRadioHour.com, the Minnesota National Guard, BeyondTheYellowRibbon.org, and the Minnesota Department of Veteran Affairs. Podcasts of this program are available at MinnesotaMilitaryRadioHour.com. Thanks for listening.